Okay, so we're going back to the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top. We're in the back to going back to the Gufa. So Gufa means we always go back to analyze a previous statement that was mentioned in the Gemara already. So over here we're going back to analyze the statement of Rav Beibai Bar Abaye. It says in Gemara, Rav Beibai Bar Abaye, he'd be pas betana. If someone attached the bread, right? We've had the dough to the inside of an oven. Does the Rabbanim allow him to remove this bread before he comes to Bichayav Achatas and Isser Dereis of Shabbos Bishogeg and not be Bichayav? Do they not permit him to do so? Because again, we pointed out that taking out the bread is considered a Dias Apas. It's an Isser. It's called a Malacha Ve'ino Chachma Ve'ino Malacha, that it's an Isser Rabbanim to do this. Again, we quoted before the reasoning based on the Machlokas Rishonim. What exactly is the Isser? Is it just maybe it'll come to an Isser D'oraisa, or is it fundamentally something that they thought was Isser? Either way, there's an Isser D'rabbanan to do it. So the Gemara was wondering, are you allowed to do it or not? The Gemara now analyzes what was the exact case. Amr le'ravach bar Abaye le'ravina. Ravach Abaye said to Ravina, hey chidami, what exactly was the case that Rav Beibai Bar Abaye was talking about? So ilim abishogeg v'loed kerle. So if you're going to tell me it's a case where it was done shogeg where he didn't know about it, so then he didn't remember it. So then lamani tiru, who are we discussing about permitting? The person has no idea what happened, and then it cooks, and then it bakes, and then it's going to already be chayev. So then obviously there's no shayla over here. Who's coming to ask the shayla in Beis Din? So that's the Gemara. Ve'ela lav di'ahader ve'itker. Maybe you could say that we're dealing with a case where he later remembered. He subsequently remembered his mistake after he had put it in the oven already. However, meaning let's say he either forgot that it was an Isra D'oraisa to do Ofer, Rashi says, or the second option is that he forgot it was Shabbos, probably more likely. So then he forgot it was Shabbos for a second, he put his dough in the oven, and then is he allowed to take it or not? And then at that point he wonders, he has this question. The Gemara asks though, mi mechayev, is that really so? Is he going to be chayev achatas in that situation? Matran, the Mishnah gives us the rule for achatas. Kol chayev achatas, all those who are going to be chayev achatas, einan chayev achatet chilas an shkaga v'sof an shkaga. They're only going to be chayev if the beginning of their action was done by accident, meaning that they didn't realize about it. V'sof an shkaga, at the end of their action, was also done by accident. So over here, if they realized their sin before it was done, then it's not going to be chayev achatas. So we see, if someone had remembered, they're not chayev achatas, then what was Rav Beibai Bar Abaye's question about chatas? So the Gemara is wondering, what is the situation? What's the situation? So says the Gemara, Ela b'meizin. Maybe we're talking about a case where the guy does it b'meizin. He deliberately put it in on Shabbos, knows there's an Isser Skila, and before it starts to bake, he realizes, wow, this was really bad. Maybe I should take it out. So then he has that shaila. Would he be allowed to take it out? So then the Gemara says, though, but that wasn't the Lashon of Rav Beibai Bar Abaye. Rav Beibai Bar Abaye said, Kodem sheyavo lidei iser skila mibayle. His Lashon was, Heitiru lo lirdosa kodem sheva lidei chiyuv chatas. His Lashon was pretty meduk. His question was, do we allow him to take it out not to be chayav achatas? However, if you want to say that we're talking about bemezid, so then it should be an iser skila, where he's going to be chayav skila, a stoning situation, because he did it on purpose, not because he did it by accident. So Gemara now answers, Amrav, Shela, Rav Shela says, Le'olam b'shogeg. So really, we have to say Rav Beibai Bar Abaye was talking about a case of shogeg, and you're right, the guy didn't realize it all, and the question is, Ulamanetiru la'achirim, is for his friend who sees him there, and he sees his friend sees him put it in the oven, and then the guy runs away, or walks away, whatever, he's not in the room anymore. This friend says, oh my God, this guy's going to be chayav achatas. Should I, in fact, help him out or not? So the Gemara says, though, Maski l'Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes rejects this explanation. Do we really tell a person that you should sin in order that your friend should gain? We certainly wouldn't say this svara. The svara would tell you that a person should never violate an avera, even a minor avera, to help his friend and save him from a more severe punishment. This is not so clear, meaning Tosfos has a lot of kashas on assuming that this is a blanket principle. One of them I'll just mention because it was something that we just saw in the Daf Yomi very recently. The Gemara in Brachos talked about Rabbi Eliezer, who only had 9 people, and he freed his slave in order to make the minyan. So the Gemara asks, how could he do this? There's over an Isra Aseh. It's not an Isra D'oraisa, but it's an Isra Aseh, meaning it's a mitzvah of Lolam Tavodu, to keep them as an Eved Kanani, always as a non-Jew. And so the Gemara answered that mitzvah D'rabim Shaini. So he seemed to do an Isra Aseh in order to help the Klal. So we see that sometimes maybe helping the Klal might be an exception. So again, these are very complicated halachas. One would apply, one wouldn't. But the Gemara over here seems to say it as a blanket statement. That is almost almost clear that it's not always going to be a situation where we automatically say that we never tell you to do this, because there are the many Gemaras that Tosfos have problems with that seem to indicate otherwise. So basically, it's a complicated sugya, and a person would have to analyze each situation to understand when we would say this call or when we wouldn't. But most of the times, we would not. That's clear. So either way, the Gemara now rejects this explanation. So the Gemara goes back and says, Elam Ravashi. Ravashi says, Le'olam b'mezin. In fact, we are talking about a case of a person who did it b'mezin. We're talking about himself. Okay, so then what? Ve'ema kodem sheva desaskila. How are we going to explain the lashon of Be'bar by a suffix? It said explicitly that we're talking about a situation where he was going to be chayav achatas. Not that he was going to be doing it b'mezin. He was doing it on purpose. So says the Gemara, you have to amend the lashon of Rav Be'bar by his question, and you should amend it to say that he says before you're going to come to an iser of skila, a person's going to be chayav misa and chayav stoning, and that was the suffix. Does a person have the right to take it out before he himself would be chayav? So all the Rishonim are bothered, though, is that really the case? When is it going to be chayav at that point? If he regrets it and no longer wants it to happen and then wants to take it out, but the Chachamim's din and takana is what's holding him back, but pashtus, he wouldn't be chayav misa either. That's the, because at that point he wanted to take it out and he doesn't want the end of the action to happen over here. So clearly it should not be chayav. So again, that's another question that the Rishonim deal with. But that, for clarity's sake, that was just a question to point out. The Gemara asks, the Gemara says a support for this explanation. The Gemara says, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Masnin LeBehed. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava said explicitly that was Rav Bibi Bar Abaye's question. He didn't amend it, but that's his Mesorah for what year the question is. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye said, Hid Bipak B'Tanar Hitir Lo Lir Dosa Kodem Shevelei De Iser Skila. That his question was, do we allow you to take it out before you come to the death penalty on Shabbos? And so his version didn't have the chatas, rather he mentioned it as skila, so that explicitly supports our question that was really the suffix of a bebar by Abaye. Now that continues the Gemara, quoting the first ruling of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Pashas ha'anyas yada, if the poor person was extending his hand into the Rishus Hayachid and he placed it into the Baal Abayis' hand, he is chayav. Again, he does the Akira in Rishus Rabim and then he does the Nacha into the Baal Abayis' hand. The Gemara asks, so, Amai chayav? V'ha'banin Akira v'nacha agamemakom arba al arba. Why should the ani be chayav? When he put it down into the Baal Abayis' hand, he didn't put it into an area which is at least 4x4 tefachim ride, and then you don't have that. In that situation, Velika, if you don't have a situation where you have a 4x4 tefachim, so then why should you be, in fact, chayav and Isser Daraisa? You need to put something on in order to be chayav on the Hanacha, it should also have to be placed on something which is at least 4x4 tefachim wide in order to be chayav on Shabbos. So the Gemara doesn't say why that is. Where do we get this 4x4? So the Rishonim all deal with this question. Where does this idea of dalet al dalet tefachim in order to be chayav and the hanacha for Shabbos come from? So Tosfos over here give a few explanations. So many people explain, the Rambam just says that it's just an area, it has to be defined as a makom hanacha if it's 4x4 tefachim, because that is an object would normally sit on such an area. Meaning a normal object would have to be at least 4x4 tefachim. It's not so big. I mean, a person's hand is less than that, but normal objects, that's the shear of normal objects. Others explain, the Ramban has a famous sheet on this. He says that dal tefachim is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's how he understands it. So again, there's a machlokas we've shown him how we get to dal David, but that's the assumption of the Gemara that you, in order to be chayav, you need an akira midal dal, and also need an hanacha. You need hanacha also placing it down into an area of 4x4 tefachim wide as well. Okay, so the Gemara says now, Amar Rabba. Rabba now wants to give an answer. Hamani, who is the author of our Mishnah? It is Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva, de Amar lo ba'inan makam arba al arba. Rabbi Akiva holds, we don't require 4x4 tefachim on the placement down. To stand, what's the raya that Rabbi Akiva held? This way, the Mishnah says the following. Hazorik mirshus hayachid l'shus hayachid. If someone throws an object from one private domain into another private domain, rishus harabim be'emtza, in the middle, is going to be a public domain, Rabbi Akiva mechayev v'chachamim potrim. Rabbi Akiva holds that he is chayev daraisa, chayev on the itzer hotza on Shabbos, and the chachamim hold that he is pater. So now Mara is going to explain what was the svar behind Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva savar arminan kiluta kimi shehuncha damya. So this is important klal. It's not just relevant to Hilchos Shabbos. It's a Hilchos Gittin comes up as well. But for us, we're going to be discussing it with Hilchos Shabbos. The Rabbi Akiva holds that when we say that something is contained in the airspace of a certain area, it's halachically is going to be viewed as if it's resting in the area. Dehainu, when I throw the object over the Rishus HaRabim, according to Rabbi Akiva, halachically it's as if it rested over there. And Rabbanan Savar, however, the rabbis disagree and they hold Lo Aminan Kluto Kimesha Hun Chadami. We do not say that something in the airspace of the domain is going to be halachically viewed as if it's resting in that domain. Okay? So accordingly, Rabbi Akiva would be holding that the principle of kluta, right? The idea of over here, that Rabbi Akiva would hold that when the poor person is putting it into the object, into the Baal HaBayis' hand, even though the object isn't physically lying on an area of dalet by dalet tfachim, since it's contained within an area, meaning that the Baal HaBayis is standing in his house, which is obviously more than dalet al dalet, so we view it as if it's resting on the ground of that Rishus HaYachid, and therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, it makes sense to say that you'd be chayev even if you don't have an area of dalet al dalet tfachim. So the Gemara says, Lememra dipshita lele rabba. Is this really this? So then this would be fine according to Rabba's answer. But the question is though, is it so pashut even to Rabba himself, the vikluta kimisha hunchadame, that the matter of what, when we say this concept of kluta kimisha hunchadame, that something that's contained in an avir of the rishus, of that rishus, meaning that something's in the airspace of the rishus is halachically viewed as resting in that area, is that really true? Uvetoch asara, and their machlokes is going to be even within 10 tfachim of the ground, pligi, Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan are going to disagree within 10 tfachim of the ground. When it comes to the idea of kluta, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan are disagreeing in a situation where it was less than 10 tfachim from the ground, because less than 10 tfachim of the ground is assumed to be in that rishus. However, more than 10 tfachim from the ground would be a makam ptur, because we know that makam ptur, the avir of makam ptur, is not necessarily going to be an issue. So that was the way that the Gemara is explaining now. But the Gemara says, though, that is that really true, though? V'hamid bai le rabba. Rabba himself asked this question to bai rabba. Rabba wondered about this machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. He wondered if they're arguing lemate masar pligi, are they disagreeing in a situation where the item was thrown below 10 tfachim from the ground of a hafligi to Rabbi Akiva sever kluta kimisha unchadame. And in that situation, Rabbi Akiva would be holding that something contained in the avir, in the airspace of the rishus that we're dealing with, is halachically going to be viewed as it's resting in that area. V'rabbanan sabre lo aminan kluta kimisha unchadame. While the rabbis disagree, and they all disagree with this whole concept completely, they say that we don't hold to this, and even when you throw it less than 10 tfachim, you're going to be Pater. However, the Gemara says that in that situation, in this side of the Suffolk, within Rabbah, avalemala ma'asara, according to Rabbah now, if it's more than 10 tefachim, divrei hakol pater, even according to Rabbi Akiva, he would say that you're pater in that situation if you threw it over the rishus rabbin, whereas more than 10 tefachim above the ground. So, and then, udukuli alma loyalfinan zorik mimoshi. So then all would agree that we don't learn the halachas of throwing from the laws of handing over. So what is this halacha of throwing to the land of throwing over? We know that the halacha of hotza is the ab malacha. There is a tolda of that malacha, which is hoshata, which is handing over. So how do you hand over? The Gemara is going to tell us later on that the whole process in the Mishkan was when Klal Yisrael would go from place to place, what would they do? They would have to obviously very quickly be able to prepare and dismantle the Mishkan. So they would transport it and they would bring it to the new place. They would put the boards on into the walls as if they were walls of the wagons, and they would put them on the wagons and load them up and move on to the next place where they had to travel. So the Levim who were standing on one wagon, they would be in the Rishus Rabbim, and they would be passing them to the Levim who were standing on the other wagon, who were behind the first area. So then, if that's the case, each wagon had these walls that were 10 tefachim high, and therefore they would be considered a Rishus HaYachid. So we find in the Mishkan an instance that if a person is passing an object, it was above 10 tefachim, assuming that the wagon was more than 10 tefachim high, which is bepashas it was, and they're passing it from place to place. So if that's the case, if it's from Hoshata, that is the case of Hoshata, that's an Isra D'Oraisa to pass it in that manner, to hand it over in that manner would be an Isra D'Oraisa. So if you learn it out from that, then we're going to say the second side now. What's the second side? Oh, Dilma, maybe you could say, L'mala Masar Pligi, that they're going to disagree even above 10 tefachim, Mivaha Pligi, Derbi Kiva Sarvi Alfinan Zorek Mimoshi. We're going to learn out the lachas of throwing from the lachas of Moshi, of Hoshata, of handing it over, which we pointed out, handing over was more than 10 tefachim. So according to that approach now, even if you throw it more than 10 tefachim high, you're going to be chayav. V'rabbanan sarve yolav loyal finan zorek b'moshit. And Rabbanan holds that we do not learn the halachas of zorek for moshit, aval lebata barsar, and that in the way of this suffix now, then divrei hakol chayav. If you throw it less than 10 tefachim, then you would be chayav, my time, aminan kluta kemisha huncha dami. That we say the halacha, that everyone agrees to the concept of kluta kemisha huncha dami in this situation, and that was Rabbi Safik. So Rabbi Safik was in the chachamim over here, do they really hold of kluta kemisha huncha damia or not? So the Gemara now says that we're unsure of how to paskin Rabbi Akiva. That's the bikash that all the Rishonim ask. So according to both stadim over here, Rabbi Akiva still holds kluta kemisha huncha damia. The only shaila was what do chachamim hold? So what does it have to do with Rabbi Safik in Rabbi Akiva that we're mentioning over here? Okay, I and the Rishonim have a lot of different terutim for that kasha, but that is a very, very strong kasha. But the Gemara either way goes back to over here, assuming that this would be a problematic in the shitas Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, ena chanami halo kasha. This point is not a difficulty. Baser di bayadarev shetalei desav Rabbi Akiva kluta kemisha huncha damia. After Rav himself had this question that you just pointed out over here, this whole shakla v'tara that we just mentioned was Rabba's original question, and then on the previous Amud when we assumed that he held clearly that the Mishnah was Rabbi Akiva that held kluta kemisha huncha damia, that is his final opinion on the matter, and he does hold that kluta kemisha huncha damia b'das Rabbi Akiva, that if something is in the airspace, is contained in the airspace above, it is halachically viewed as if it rested in the airspace below it. So if you throw something over the Rishus HaRabim, for example, according to Rabbi Akiva, you do hold of kluta kemisha huncha damia, it's as if it rested in the Rishus HaRabim. Now the Gemara asks though, maybe dilma hanachahu delo baya. Maybe our question in Rabbi Akiva is only in regards to the hanacha of placing it down. However, ha'akira baya, but lifting the object does require an area of dalat al dalat tfachim. Meaning, the Rashi points out, what exactly is the proof for this, that Rabbi Akiva would hold only by hanacha, do we not need it, is that when I throw it from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid with the Rishus HaRabim Be'emta, if I don't need both an Akira B'dalad al-Dalad and I don't need a hanacha B'dalad al-Dalad, so then if I throw it from the Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, I should be chayav twice. When I threw it from the Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim, the moment it flew over the Rishus HaRabim, I should be chayav once, and then when it flies over the Rishus HaRabim back into the second Rishus HaYachid, I should be chayav a second time if I hold that an Akira also doesn't require a place of 4x4. So we see that maybe Rabbi Akiva is only being more makil on the halachas of Hanacha, as opposed to of putting it down, and not the halachas of Akira. Why would there be a difference? Why would Rabbi Akiva assume that we can be makel on hanacha, not makel on akira, because it would make sense that in a situation that in an initial act of transferring, we're going to be more machmir as to what you're transferring has to come from. It has to be from an official place of dalad adalad. However, the hanacha, it's less important. It's just the final stage of the malacha that you're doing. Maybe that doesn't require makam of dalad adalad, and that's what Rabbi Akiva Shita would be holding. So we see that there's no proof that Rabbi Akiva really holds that you hold that you need both an Akira and a Hanacha b'makom dal al damad. Yes, we see Rabbi Akiva holds you need a Hanacha, you don't need a Hanacha dal al damad, but maybe Rabbi Akiva fundamentally would hold, you do need an Akira dal al damad, so we're stuck and we don't have an answer for who our Mishnah, who's the author of our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara now, Elam Rav Yosef, who is the author of our Mishnah? Hamani, it's Rebbe. So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, is the author of our Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, which ruling of Rebbe would indicate that our Mishnah is the halachic ruling of Rebbe? Hey Rebbe, which case of Rebbe are we talking about? Ile Maha Rebbe, we're going to say that this halacha of Rebbe decided the halacha court in the following braisa, Zarak v'nacha gabi ziz kolshu. If something was thrown in an object in Rishus HaRabim and it landed on a ziz, is literally something that's sticking out of Rishus HaRabim, but it's very small. So if it was sticking out and it was four amos away from the first place where you were throwing, Rebbe would say that you're chayav mechayav and chachamim pochim. Rebbe holds that a person is chayav, whereas the chachamim say that you're pater. We see that Rebbe holds what exactly is the isser over here? That you're throwing something, that you're doing the isser of hotzah birshus harabim, not hotzah birshus yachad rishus harabim, because we're dealing with two rishus, we're dealing with only rishus harabim over here. So we see that Rebbe is holding that you are going to be chayav taking something out, dalad amos, in Rishus HaRabim. That's the Isra over here. Okay, and so we see that Rebbe doesn't require you placing the area above, on an area that's four tvachim, because we see over here that Rebbe's holding that you're putting it only on this ziz. The ziz is much smaller than dalad tvachim. Rabbi Akiva Eger over here just points out, though, that why don't we have the same question that we had in Rabbi Akiva? Meaning Rabbi Akiva, we assumed he's only makel by the hanacha of placing it down, as opposed to the akira, which he did require dalal dalal. Here we're assuming both shitos of Rabbi would be makel with akira and the hanacha. What's the difference? So Rabbi Akiva Eger points out, because simply Rabbi never makes any distinction. When it came to Rabbi Akiva, we had a reason to assume that he's being memorial on the hanacha, which is the case itself. When he throws it from Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, to a Rishus HaRabim, back into the Rishus HaYachid, so according, if Rebbe really held that you don't need both the Akira and the Anacha, so then it's blatant that you should be chayav both, you should be chayav two different chatases in that situation. So since we see that there was a reason to assume that Rebbe Akiva didn't held that way, that was our problem over here. Rebbe makes no such distinction, so maybe really Rebbe will fundamentally hold that you don't need both an Akira and Anacha in a makom dalad al dalad. So the Gemara now says that we're going to reject this as the source for Rebbe, because we're going to say Hasam Kedavina Limar, come on Kedavaya. We're going to discuss this Emir Tzeshem when we get to, I think, Davav around, no, Zion. So when it's on Dav Zion, we're going to discuss this Gemara. Damar Abaya, Abaya give explanation for what this Gemara is talking, what this Mechlokas Tanaim is about. Here we're dealing with the case when the Chachamim and Rebbe disagree. We're dealing with a tree that is standing in Rishus HaYachid. It's standing in a private domain. Vinofo note l'rishus harabim, and the branches extend into the rishus harabim, into the public domain. Vizarak v'nach anofo, and a person is standing four amos away. What happened? He threw the object which is resting on one of its branches. So then we see that the tree is four tfachim, while the branches are less than four tfachim. And what would be the situation then? The Rebbe savar minan shade nofo basar ikar. Rebbe holds that we can say that the branches of the tree are going to be given the status of the trunk, which means that the trunk is fundamentally bigger than four tfachim, so therefore he's going to assume that you are going to be chayav because it's a place that is more than dalad al dalad amos, so then it's considered a hanacha in a proper situation. Rabbanan say that we don't throw the branches, meaning we don't say halachically the branches of the tree are going to be given the status of the trunk, and then according to this, Rebbe would in fact be holding that you do need an area of dalad valad, so then we have no raya over here, because again, according to this, we're assuming that it goes after the trunk, which the tree trunk, the whole part, acre part of the tree, which does have more than dalad dalad. So we have no proof at all from this Gemara. So then the Gemara says maybe another statement of Rebbe. Ella ha Rebbe. It must be the following statement of Rebbe that shows that you don't need to place an item in a makom dalad al dalad. What is the raya desana? Because it's taught in the Braisa, zarak mirshus harabim lirshus harabim mirshus hayachid beemtza. If someone threw an object from a rishus harabim now in a public domain to another public domain, and he has a rishus, so Yachid Be'emtza, he has a private domain in the middle. Rebbe says, Mechayev v'chachamim protim. The Rebbe says that you're chayev, and the chachamim say that you're pater. V'amar Rav Yudam Shmuel, Mechayev haya Rebbe shtayim. Rebbe says you're going to be chayev two chatases. Achas mishum otza, v'achas mishum hachnasa. One of them for taking out the object in a private domain into a Rishus HaRabim, from a Rishus HaYachid Rishalam, and one of hachnasa, of bringing the item back in from the public domain into the private domain. So what do we see based on Shmuel's interpretation of Rebbe? Alma lo bay akira v'lo nacha gabim makom arba abba. We see that Rebbe doesn't require both the akira and the nacha in an area that is 4x4 tfachim. Because the exact kasha that we had before about Rebbe Akiva, when Rebbe Akiva said throwing it, you're only chayav one, Rebbe does in fact hold that you're going to be chayav two. So we see that maybe he really holds that when a person takes it and picks it up and throws it from the Rishus HaRabim over into the Rishus HaYachid and then back into the Rishus HaRabim, again, this is one maisa of throwing, that's how it goes. It flies over from one area to the next. Rebbe says in fact you're going to be chayav because you did two different Yisurim over here. You did both Otsa and Achnasa. So we see that you don't need both the Akira and both the Nacha is not required in Makom Dalad Dalad. This is the Raya from Rebbe. So the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, Ha'it Maralah, but that is not true because we said, according to this, we said explaining this Braisa, Rav and Shmuel, Dar Maratabai, Rav and Shmuel both held, Lo Mechayev Rebbe, Eler Bishus Hayachid Mikora. Rebbe only holds that the situation you're going to be Chayev is where the Rishus Hayachid, the private domain in the middle, was roofed. It had a roof on it. Darminan Besa Kiman Dimalia Dami. Because we say that the house is as if it's full of items when you throw it in the house. In order to be considered a Rishus HaYachid, an area doesn't need to have a roof. That's we see that all you need is mechitzos. All of everyone's going to discuss this, but we're going to see that all you need is mechitzos. So Rav and Shmuel are saying for this halacha though, that a person throwing from Rishus HaRabim into another Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid Be'emtza is only going to be chayav. Rebbe was talking about only a case where the middle part was roofed, because if it's enclosed on all sides and it lacks airspace, then we're assuming that the entire area is considered as if it's already sitting within all the stuff in all the things and the possessions inside of that roofed area are going to be considered as if it's there, and therefore when you throw it in that, it's considered as if it has a hanacha. However, aval she'ena mekora lo, in a situation where we're talking about a rishus rabim that doesn't have a roof over it, Rebbe would not hold your chayiv unless you have dalad dalad. So we don't have a proof from our mishnah because the ani seemingly, the Gemara is going to suggest maybe not in a second, but the ani seemingly standing in an open area, and Rebbe's halacha only applies when you're discussing a closed off area. So the Gemara says, "Nevechitema hachanami b'mekora." And if you're going to say that over here, also our mishnah is referring to a case where both the balabayas, the person in the house, obviously he, I understand, is in a roof area, but the chiddush says even the ani now is standing in a roofed area. Hatiner b'rishus hayachad mekora, but that I understand by the balabayas. However, b'rishus rabbi mekora mi mechayev. If you want to assume that the ani is standing in an area which is a public domain, but had a roof over it, is there such a thing? Someone who transports an object 4 amos in the public domain that has a roof over it is not going to be chayev. Mekora pater. Why? This situation, a guy is going to be pater because it's not similar to the lacha of how Bnei Israel traveled. In the matter, like we said before, when we gave the introduction to the Shabbos, you're only chayev in the way that it was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they didn't have an area, the area of the Levium where the Elevium were, which is considered the Rishus Rabim over there, the Machan Elevium, did not have any walls, did not have any roof over it. So since you're not going to be chayev, you can't tell me that our Mishnah is talking about that, this case, because you're not even chayev midoraisa in that situation. So therefore, that can't be the case. Okay, Mirat Hashem will pick off tomorrow. The Gemara is going to give more suggestions until it finally comes to the Maskana and the Hemshech of this Amud. Ad Kan for today. Yisher Koach. Freilich HaPurim. For everyone who's in Yadal, Baruch Hashem Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, which is tomorrow, but everyone who's Purim, Freilich HaPurim.